Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the Endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the Endowment by visiting us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation today is with Dr. Nat Heiner, Chief Knowledge Officer and Deputy Chief Information Officer of the U.S. Coast Guard. Welcome, Nat.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
And joining us in our conversation is another PwC partner, Dave Abel. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
Well, Nat, perhaps we could start by finding out more about the Coast Guard. Could you describe its missions and its activities for our listeners?
Yes. First of all, we're the nation's smallest armed service. We have roughly 36,000 active duty men and women in uniform. We're concerned generally with the maritime domain, from inland waterways through coastal waters to deep water over the horizon at many foreign ports, believe it or not, and even Antarctica. We support missions there. Everybody knows us as the wet version of 911. We do search and rescue on the water, search and rescue inland on over land when it gets flooded. But we have so many other missions. I'm going to just sort of walk through them pretty quickly. We break ice to get oil delivered. We help protect the water environment in thousands of places, from nearly dry inland areas to deep water fisheries. We stop drugs from coming into the country over water routes. We enforce the maritime parts of immigration law. We enforce international treaties protecting the environment, fisheries, and marine life. We monitor icebergs. Who'd think that the Coast Guard's looking at icebergs? We drop color bombs on them to mark them for passing ships and for aircraft. And we provide an international ice warning system. We make sure that the thousands of ships arriving in the U.S., and by the way, 95% of the nation's economy comes over water, something that needs to be appreciated when you think about what we're up to here. We make sure those ships are safe for the crew on the ships, for the cargo, for the ports, and for the environment those ships are moving through. We're the experts on responding to and controlling oil and chemical spills. And lastly, and definitely not the least, we work closely with the other armed services as well as the intelligence communities and other agencies such as Customs, FBI, INS, to secure the safety of this country's maritime domain. And in this particular period we're living in, that's certainly a pretty important mission that most people are coming to appreciate. We have all of 95,000 miles of coastline to defend and monitor. So Coast Guard's all over the place and a lot bigger than most people realize. And I should just put a plug in, if anybody wants to check it out a little bit more, check out the website uscg.mil/news. And the whole array of what we're doing nowadays is up there for people to look at.
One thing that many of the listeners may not be aware of is that sometimes Coast Guard is under Department of Transportation, other times it's under Department of Defense. What affects that change? And with Homeland Security a rising concern, what impact will that have on what organization administratively the Coast Guard falls?
Well, I'll answer the questions in order. First of all, there's a well-understood and well-regulated capability for the Coast Guard to be shifted from the Department of Transportation into the Department of the Navy. That would be at the explicit executive order of the President. And the circumstances under which that is envisioned as happening are full-blown warfare. It hasn't happened, and as far as I have heard, there is no discussion about that. I think the American public is as aware of developments in that area as any of us in the Coast Guard are. As for the Homeland Security Agency, there's certainly a lot of discussion about the placement of the Coast Guard in such an agency. There's been a lot of academic discussion about this well before 9/11, years before it actually. Various committees in Congress have looked at this, commissioned by Congress have looked at it. The Coast Guard's position generally on this is that we know how to work where we're working very well. The Department of Transportation is a very natural place for the Coast Guard to reside. And at the same time, the Coast Guard, in its 211-year history, I think it's 211 years now, we've been in existence, we've adapted to an awful lot of different environments organizationally in order to get our mission done. We once were in the Department of Treasury. We once patrolled beaches on horseback. It's a shifting mission mix that we have, and if the nation sees fit to place us in another place, I see no reason why the Coast Guard would not salute and move out on that. But I think it's important to understand we are where we stand, and we're ready basically to do the job no matter where we're placed inside the government. It's really a bigger issue than the Coast Guard. And so anybody from within the Coast Guard that tries to tell you that the Coast Guard belongs here or there is probably talking above their pay grade.
What's your role as the Chief Knowledge Officer?
The Chief Knowledge Officer is a new thing for the Coast Guard. Coast Guard's been sort of out front in the federal arena and pushing for this kind of a function to be established in the organization. The basic idea is that the Knowledge Officer is an overlay to the CIO function. The CIO, the Chief Information Officer, is a fairly well-known function nowadays, concerned with information systems and managing them efficiently, managing the investments in IT, managing the policy and the standards, and coordinating it throughout the entire enterprise's architecture. The Knowledge Officer is concerned with all of that as an enabling tool, if you will, for helping people in a large organization learn what they need to know to get their job done. In a sense, you can say it's just training in the old-fashioned sense, but it's a lot more complicated than that. We've come to realize that what our people know is a lot harder to get your hands around than we used to think it was. How they learn what they need to know is a lot more complicated than we thought it was. And how, from an organizational point of view, our people forget what they ought to know is also an important thing that we tend to lose sight of. So a knowledge officer is working across human resources, the training organization, the IT organization, acquisition, and then operations to establish communities that act as functional units. And I'm not actually articulating this right. To establish communities that are natural communities that for understandable reasons haven't yet formed, perhaps because they're isolated in different parts of the country, the way the Coast Guard's distributed around the country. How are people who are doing similar things but in small boat stations to get together today nowadays? They can't get on the horn, they can't travel, and yet they know things that each other could benefit from greatly. So the knowledge officer has a fascinating challenge that runs on the organizational level, on the technical level, on the human resources level, and it's all about pulling the organization together with respect to getting control of what its people know and making sure that the right people know what they need to know.
Let's spend a little bit of time talking about your career. Tell us a little bit about what you did prior to joining the Coast Guard.
Well, immediately before, I'll actually start at the very beginning and work my way towards the present then, at least the career beginnings. I thought I was going to go off and teach mathematical logic and linguistics. That's what my training was in. And in the process, did things like go off to Europe and study, and then I was in the Amazon jungle for nearly 2 years doing some linguistic work, and found myself back in the United States preparing a dissertation to take me into the world of academia when I found that there was this tremendous demand for people in this new software industry. And I got drafted, in effect. I didn't seek it. It just sort of happened to me, just as it happened to an awful lot of people. And I found myself growing with this same burgeoning information technology industry that we've all come to love and hate all at once. I worked with the federal government almost all the time because most of my work was here in Washington. I actually established my own companies for a while and discovered that I'm probably not a good CEO, although people thought I did a reasonably good job at it. I didn't. And I wound up moving over to Federal Data Corporation, where I took the lead in managing their technical operations and as I matured with the company. And also helped position Federal Data for acquisition and found myself then working for Northrop Grumman. And I suppose at a certain point, I decided that I wanted to look at public service, and specifically I wanted to look for an organization that had a clearly defined mission. After over 20 years of doing this in the private sector, I came to an odd and kind of surprising, at least to me, conclusion that although if you'd asked me at any given point what the mission I was involved with was, I would have said of course I have a mission here. My mission is that of Social Security or the Veterans Administration or the United States Navy. We are building a secure communication system for Navy logistics. But in the end, my mission was the mission of the company, and the mission of a company like Northrop Grumman or like Federal Data before it is indeed the bottom line. It's a no-fooling bottom line mission. So at a certain point, I decided that I wanted to shift and look at an organization such as the Coast Guard, whose mission is a very, very different kind of poses a very different set of kinds of goals. But still, the management challenges and the technical challenges are all there, right there in the mix.
That's a good stopping point. It's time for a break. Come back with us as we continue our conversation with Nat Heiner of the Coast Guard. We'll ask him to tell us more about knowledge management when the Business of Government Hour continues.